Recently, ITV has been trialling enhanced audio description for some of the Six Nations rugby matches. And I'm joined today by Matt Simpson and David Padmore to talk about the experiment. Is that possibly the right word to use, David?
Yeah, why not? We provided some live audio description on the King's Coronation last year. And since we did that, we've kind of been looking at other opportunities to use live audio description, and the Six Nations came up as an opportunity. We were approached actually by Diageo Guinness, who was sponsoring the tournament, and said, we're interested in how we can make this the most accessible Six Nations tournament ever. So we immediately thought, here's an opportunity to think about providing an alternative descriptive commentary. And then we kind of got working with Diageo and with ITV Sport and ITV's commercial team to try and make it happen.
Did it take a while to put the idea together how this was going to work? I'm thinking more for the describer's point of view.
Yes, completely different, because with the coronation, we were kind of providing a traditional audio description in the sense that we were using the gaps between the main commentary to interject descriptions of some of the visuals, because there was a lot of space in the coronation, right? There was a lot of times where there was no commentary and it was just pictures of the archbishop placing the crown on the king's head or things like that. So there was an opportunity for the audio describers just to do their job. With rugby, of course, you don't have anything like that. So very quickly we realized that in order to do this, we were going to have to completely replace the main commentary. So then you're presented with the challenge of, well, we need the kind of stadium noise, the referee's microphone. We need the other bits of audio, because you can't just have a kind of dipped AD bed here, because it would be completely lacking in any atmosphere. So we also realised we were going to need people with proper rugby expertise, right? Because you can't bluff your way through a rugby match. So we did two games and we took two approaches. The first game, the England-Wales game, we tried it with a commentator and a co-commentator. And in the second game, the England-Ireland game, we just had a single commentator and actually somebody who had previous experience of delivering descriptive commentary in stadium for rugby and also for football, actually. So we've got a huge amount of learning from what we did this time around.
A huge challenge, you know, to actually bring it to life on the screen and audibly as well there. We have Matt Simpson with us too. Matt, more on the technical side of things. So when people tuned into this, you know, they would watch this on ITV1. If they have audio description, they have that switched on, and that gives them that audio described commentary. How difficult is it to do something like that?
It was coordinating quite a lot of moving parts. So we had to rehearse and set up the kit, imagining exactly how this was going to work. As David said, trying to get the match feed clean into a commentary booth in Leeds, which is where we did this, was an interesting challenge. Then we had to mix the sound back to kind of create a complete replacement audio channel, and then send that back to the broadcast partners, Red Bee Media, who wrapped it back into the standard TV signal. Then you have to combine that with agreeing with the production themselves exactly when we would opt out of the main service. So they actually luckily gave us an audio cue, and we knew when to press the buttons to try and make this the smoothest possible. And then there were interesting challenges around synchronization, because we were doing more to the sound signal. There was a chance it was going to be out of sync with the pitches. Luckily, it was only about two or three frames. And yeah, it was a considerable challenge to do this when you've really only got the live event itself to play with. Once you've started, you can't wind the clock back. And if things aren't going right, you have to kind of think again on the fly.
So it was a bit of a learning curve. When you think about TV programs or films, you know, there's plenty of time for the describers to work out what goes where, what they're going to say. You know, that could be mixed in. You get plenty of time to do that. I'd say that I used the word learning curve there, but it must still be something like that.
At least with a rugby match, you can dig one out of the archives and have a look at one. The coronation was sort of effectively sight unseen for most of us. We could only assume from the running order exactly how it was going to manifest itself. But yeah, you have to think on the fly. The first time we ran this with the coronation, there were some technical issues. The describers have a button in front of them that puts themselves in and out of circuit. And that was repeatedly getting inverted. So they were thinking they was muted and they weren't. And we learned rapidly during that event how to fix that. Luckily, from the point of view of the rugby, we'd solved some of the technical challenges. But when we reviewed it afterwards and got the viewer and listener feedback, we found that for certain viewers with certain types of set-top box, the action of us muting the audio for audio description had had the same effect for the primary audio. So actually, there was a very small percentage of people who lost the program commentary completely, which then meant I had to pay a visit to a stack of set-top boxes and monitors in London and run through some testing to try and work out exactly what was happening and how we could fix it, which was relatively easy to resolve. And with the rugby, there is a lot, the transition to audio description is very simple.
And we just turn on a TV and it's there.
Yes, hopefully.
That was actually really important to us in devising this solution, is that we wanted to make it so that, assuming you had your audio description function turned on, that you would just receive the audio description in the normal way. We didn't want to creating a solution where you're telling people to go somewhere else for the service. We wanted to be this part of the main broadcast, and we wanted it to be a kind of fully fledged commentary, albeit a more descriptive one. We've got some great feedback, some really detailed feedback from the audience, and we're keen to hear more. So if any of your listeners out there have got extra things to say, then the RNIB will pass that feedback on to us, or you can contact us directly at accessibility@itb.com, and we'll be very happy to hear any comments.
I was just going to ask that, David, actually, about the feedback. You know, what kind of things were people saying? Because, I mean, I watched it with the AD, and normally, if it's football or rugby, you know, I get certain parts of commentary. You know, I don't want to hear lots of stats and things. So I miss a lot, and you even get that in radio sometimes. You know, there's lots of information that perhaps pundits or commentators are talking about. By the time they've finished talking about it, the ball's at the end of the pitch, or, you know, someone else has made a tackle. What was the feedback like for this? Were people really getting to grips with it and feeling part of the match and the atmosphere itself?
The Six Nations is a sort of an occasion where you get a very broad range of viewers, some of whom are absolute rugby aficionados and lovers, and others who only ever watch one or two games of rugby a year and they tune into the Six Nations. So we were conscious that we had to try and strike a balance between people who really understood lineouts and scrums and some of the intricacies of the game, and others for whom it was actually important to provide that little bit more level of explanation of what was going on. So the feedback was quite diverse. Generally, people felt that the second game was better than the first game, where maybe there were stretches where occasionally the ball was down the other end of the pitch without the commentators having really explained kind of how it got there. And I think the experience that the commentator that we used on the second game, a guy called Dave Rogers, he's been quite involved in the development of descriptive commentary for sport generally in the UK. I think that really shone through. I think generally the feedback, yeah, was very positive. There were some people who did genuinely like the idea of a bit of back and forth between the commentators, because it broke up the commentary a bit. So I think that's an idea we might try and return to at some point.
Do you see this going further again? You've got the Euros for football coming up, other events as well, like the Olympics, the Paralympics and so on. And I suppose sport, probably more than anything else, really lends itself to this live, enhanced, embedded audio description as well, with its challenges, of course. But can you see this growing now?
We've thoroughly enjoyed the experience. I know that the team at ITB Sport, I mean, they were really supportive and they were really pleased with how it went. As you say, we've got the Euros coming up, another tournament that we share with the BBC. So absolutely, we're looking at the Euros as potential. It was kind of key to us in delivering the Six Nations, the partnership that we had with Guinness and Diageo, that really did help facilitate the service, the access to the commentators, etc. So yeah, having done it once, we've got the solution. You know, we're interested in looking at how we can deliver this a bit more flexibly. As Matt mentioned, we deliver this from Leeds, potentially deliver it from other locations. But yeah, we're thinking all the time about how we can make ITB programs in general more accessible, and this is a key strategy for the sport output in particular.
As David said, please do feedback any of your thoughts or questions to accessibility@itv.com. Or, of course, you can contact RIB's helpline on 0303 123 9999. Well, we're looking forward to more of this kind of live audio description. But for the moment, to David and to Matt, thanks to both of you for joining us on RIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.